ghosts, we got all the tricks. Exorcisms and bloody gore. Every week you tune in for more. Here today, gone tomorrow. Bring the world down and forget your sorrows. The devil's here and the demons follow. Rest in peace, I'm not your normal horror. Not your normal horror. Not your normal. Friends, welcome back to Not Your Normal Horror. I'm Kim.
And I'm Jay.
And we are not your normal horror,
right? Yeah, we are.
We are. Yeah, okay. I was just checking.
They know that.
I wasn't sure. I just wanted to make sure. So sorry we're a day late. We had some family issues yesterday, so we couldn't record and release, but we're here now. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
We're here.
We may be late, but we'll be here each week.
Yep.
Unless we're on break.
Yep. And we're not on break right now. So here we go. So, let's just get right into it. My podcast episode tonight is serial killers with the highest proven victim count within the last 100 years. Oh, now, there's, like, I know this is like a no-no for podcast research. I used Wikipedia to give me the list of the top however many.
Okay.
And then I used other resources to research those serial killers. Oh. So like Wikipedia provided me the list, and then I went to other resources to research the people.
I mean, I use Wiki every once in a while just to get some info, and then I expand, you know, broaden my search from there.
So my point of saying that was there's 30, and I'm doing the bottom 10. So like 30 to 20.
Okay.
30, 29,
yeah. 30 to 21. There you go.
That's 10. So the least amount up.
And I guess you'll cover the other ones
We'll do three parts.
I like it.
So we're going to start with the lowest count. This is within the last 100 years. And I'm sure you guys can tell I'm American.
Are you?
I am. And a lot of these are from countries that are not America, and the names of places and people are going to be difficult for me to pronounce. And I just want to, this is why I try to stick to American crimes, because my biggest fear is that people are going to think I'm like, when I mispronounce either a country, a city, a person's name, I don't want anybody to ever think it's like a American thing of like, I'm doing it on purpose. I'm trying to pronounce names and stuff correctly. It's just, this isn't my language. So
true that.
I just want to put it out there. I'm trying my best.
You're going to butcher stuff.
I'm going to butcher a whole lot of things, probably, most likely. And if I do, I apologize. But I'm not going to apologize every time. I'm giving a blanket apology right now for anything that I mispronounce. I'm not doing it on purpose. I promise. I'm just American. I can't help it. So, with that said, the first serial killer on the list with the lowest victim count, Ramadan Abdel Rahim Mansour. Got it?
Got it.
He starts the list with a total of 32 murder victims credited to his name. It is estimated that that number may be higher, but his proven count is 32.
It's a lot. Victims.
He was the leader of an Egyptian street gang that was responsible for the rape, torture, and death of at least 32 children from 1999 to 2006. His victims were mainly young boys between the ages of 10 and 14. His nickname was Al Torbini, Express Train, is what that translates to, given to him because that's where he and his gang of accomplices would lure impoverished street children to rape and torture them. Once they were done, they would then dispose of their victims by either tossing them off the top of the train onto the tracks of an oncoming train where they would be run over and killed, if not dead when they were thrown over. They threw them into the Nile, or they buried them alive. In the end, he and his accomplices were all found guilty. with Mansoor being sentenced to death. On December 16th, 2010, he was executed by hanging in Burj Al Arab prison.
Okay.
That's our first.
That's a lot. Like 32 victims, and that's all the way at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Like, I can only imagine what number one is.
Yeah. It's a lot. Well, we'll find out eventually, but not today.
Not today.
Okay, up next, we have Vasily Komarov. Komarov makes the list with 33 murder victims. Known as the Wolf of Moscow, he is considered to be one of Russia's earliest known serial killers. He joined the Red Army during the Communist Revolution in 1917 and later moved to Moscow, becoming a horse trader to support his wife and children. In 1921, the Soviet police began investigating disappearances and murders that were being committed around the Moscow area. They found the corpses of 21 men buried or dumped in the Moscow River. They went to Komarov's house to question him about his criminal activities. He was selling illegal alcohol at the time. And ended up finding his latest victim in the stable next to his house. So, like, that was, like, lucky timing. Like, they went to question him about something else, and he actually had a victim in the stable next to his house. Initially, he was able to escape arrest, but was soon captured. He was questioned and admitted to murdering a total of 33 men. He lured his victims to his house with the intention of selling them one of his horses. His wife was also arrested along with Komarov because police could not believe that she didn't know anything about the murders her husband committed. Both were tried and found guilty and executed by firing squad on June 18, 1923. His poor wife got dragged along.
Well,
guilty by association.
If I was a serial killer, do you think you would know I was?
Depends on how sneaky you thought you were.
You would know. I would come home with blood on me and stuff, and yeah, you would catch me before the cops did.
It's a good thing you're too lazy to be a serial killer, isn't it?
True that. And I don't like killing people, so.
Also that, yeah. I mean, that's good, too. Okay, here we go. Up next, we have Ali Asghar Borujerdi. What name? I'm going to use Ali throughout this one. Okay.
That works.
Easiest name to pronounce. Ali joins the list with the same count as Komarov with 33 murder victims. His nickname was Asghar the Murderer. Creative. He was the first Iranian serial killer and rapist reported in the 20th century. When he moved to Iraq with his family, he began assaulting, raping, and murdering young boys in Baghdad when he was just 14 years old. His victim total was 25 at that point, and police were moving in on him. He escaped back to Iran in 1933 and killed another 8 young boys, bringing his total to 33. He confessed to these murders and was sentenced to death. On July 6, 1934, he was publicly hanged at Tehran's Sepa Square.
Everybody's getting publicly hanged.
Good, I like it.
They should bring that back.
They should. Depending on, you know, the crime. Yeah. All right. Up next is a killer that I thought one day I would cover, and then I decided I didn't want to cover very well-known serial killers. Can you, without looking at my list, can you guess who it might be? And if you guess it right, I'm going to accuse you of seeing my list before I put my hand over it.
I can't guess.
Just guess one of our famous serial killers here in America.
You put me on a spot. I'm like,
all right. How about I give you one hint? He would be the one I personally would be most afraid of.
Ted Bundy?
No. John Wayne Gacy.
Oh.
Why would I be afraid of John Wayne Gacy?
Because you don't like clowns.
Exactly. The killer clown makes the list with a proven 33 murders, but the total could be anywhere between 34. And 45 or more. Gacy being exposed as a murderer was such a shock to those who knew him because he was well known around town as a sociable, helpful man who would also perform as a, you guessed it, clown at charity events and kids' birthday parties. See, that's why I don't fucking like clowns.
Fuck clowns.
But the signs were always there. In 1964, he was found guilty of sodomizing 2 young boys and spent 18 months in prison for the crimes. After he got out of prison, he moved to Chicago and started a construction business, which would lead his victims to him. They would show up for an interview, and Gacy would sexually assault them before killing them and burying them in the crawl space of his home and in other areas under his home. One boy went to the Chicago police in 1977 saying that Gacy had kidnapped and molested him, but the police did not follow up on his report. The next year, Gacy killed a 15-year-old boy who had come to his house looking for a job. Thankfully, the Des Plaines police got involved in this one and searched Gacy's home, finding evidence of the missing boys, like little trinkets of theirs, like school rings, jacket, letterman's jackets, whatever. Gacy was arrested, tried to plead not guilty by reason of insanity, which failed, and was sentenced to death. He was executed on May 10th, 1994 by lethal injection.
Good for him.
Goodbye, killer clown. Fuck you. I just gave my phone the finger, in case anybody's wondering. I did that to my computer at work the other day, too. I got an email, and I was like, fuck you.
I do it all
And
the
then
time.
I was like, they can't see me, so this is pointless. But anyways, off track. Up next we have Fernando Hernandez Leyva. While Leyva has admitted to over 100 murders, only 33 have been proven as victims. In fact, it has been considered that his victim count may be as high as 137.
Jesus.
But it's unlikely we'll ever know the true number because Leyva claimed he was forced to confess to murders he did not commit. He was arrested in March 1999 and was connected to 137 murders as well as 6 kidnappings and several robberies in and around the Mexico City area. He claimed that he was only responsible for one kidnapping, that of a journalist, and one murder, a police officer. That'll get you killed anyway.
Yeah, well.
Go big, I guess. He claimed that the rest of his confession was coerced, that police officers intimidated and beat him. He said he received threats that his children would be taken away from him and that the police would rape his wife. The local authorities did not comment on such claims and asked that Leyva be put in a maximum security prison. While in prison, he was given a psychological exam by police and was labeled as a psychopath who killed for personal satisfaction. The exam also revealed traits that are usually associated with successful serial killers, such as intelligence, fearlessness, and lacking any remorse or shame for their actions. Leyva was sentenced to 50 years in prison and has to be housed in a maximum security prison because he has escaped twice in the past. In April 1999, he attempted suicide by hanging, but the rope he used to hang himself broke. He is currently in La Palom prison, and his release date would be in 2049. He will be 84 years old.
I hope he dies in prison.
Me too. We shall see. He's got 26 years to go.
And he's 80 something now?
No, he will be 80. Oh, he'll be 84. That's right.
He will be released. Yep.
So we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah, hopefully he dies for his stupid crimes of killing people, which is not good.
All right, we've got Vera Ranksy next on the list. The first female serial killer to make the list. I can't really say her last name, so I'm going to use her first name. Vera, also known as the Black Widow, was convicted of killing 35 men by way of arsenic poisoning, but only confessed to 32. It all began with her husband, Carl, who was a rich Austrian banker and much older than Vera. She believed he was cheating on her and decided to poison his dinner wine with arsenic. After he died, she began telling people that Carl had simply left her and their son, Lorenzo. About a year after his death, she told people she heard he had died in a car accident. She then remarried, but this husband also disappeared. Again, she told people that he left her. This cycle continued for years, and while she didn't marry every man that she killed, all of the men ended up disappearing within days, weeks, or months of meeting Vera. Her last victim was a married man she was having an affair with. When he disappeared, his wife called police and they were led to Vera's home, where they found 32 unburied zinc-lined coffins containing male corpses rotting away in her wine cellar. She admitted to killing all of the men because she believed they were all cheating on her and was sentenced to life in prison. She died while in prison in 1960.
Good.
The Black Widow struck.
Quite How many people did she kill?
35.
Jesus Christ.
But she only admitted to 32.
I mean, why not just admit to the other three if you did it?
I don't know. I do know. All right, this one's going to be difficult. Do my best. Haj Mohammed Mesfoui. Oh, that sounds good. Mesfoui joins the list with 36 victims. He was a Moroccan serial killer who killed at least 36 women. He worked as a shoemaker and trader in Marrakesh. He'd kill young women who came into a shop. He would use drugs to knock them out before using a dagger to decapitate them.
What?
Assisting him in his murderous ways was a 70-year-old woman named Anna. Authorities were led to him after the parents of one of his young victims traced her movements back to his shop. They found 20 mutilated corpses in a deep pit under his shop and 16 more in the garden outside his shop. His accomplice, Anna, died from being tortured, and Mesfoui confessed to killing his victims for their money, which often wasn't much at all. He was convicted and was originally sentenced to be crucified on May 2nd, 1906, but there was an international outcry and the sentence was changed to beheading. However, the public in Marrakesh wanted him to suffer, as they should.
Yep.
So he was led from his cell to the market square every day, where he was lashed 10 times with a rod made from thorny acacia. This lasted for 4 weeks. Finally, it was decided that because of the heinous nature of his crimes, I feel like the narrator on SVU right now, right. He was to be walled up alive in the Marrakesh Marketplace Bazaar on June 11th, 1906. Walled up alive. He was to be chained to the back of the wall of the cell that was made for him. On the day he was to be walled in alive, he screamed for mercy and fought the jailers who led him to his cell. Once he was chained up and walled in, he could be heard screaming for 2 days before falling silent on the third. He died in his tomb on June 13th, 1906. Those people don't fuck around.
Yeah, right.
They legit made him a cell, like put the bricks in the mortar and walled him in.
That's crazy.
Like it wasn't already there. Like they put him on a wall, chained him there, and then built the wall around him.
Well, good. They used to get down like that back
then. They
in the
don't
day.
Fuck around there, around them parts. Good for them. Don't do crime, people. Okay, another one.
Don't do crime. Crime is bad. Okay.
Genady Mikhazovich. I think I got that one. I hope so.
Sounds like you did.
But I'm going to call him Genady because that's easier to say. While his victim.
That wasn't easy.
No. Can't speak the English words. While his official victim count is 36, Genady's number could be anywhere from 43 to over 55. He was the first Russian serial killer to be acknowledged by the state-controlled Soviet news media at the time. According to his account of the murders, he would drive around and find a woman he liked the look of before offering her a lift, which they would accept willingly. Those are his words. I am not victim blaming. I'm not saying that they should not have accepted a ride from him. I'm not saying they did accept them willingly. I'm saying this man says his victims willingly got into his car. And that's all I'm saying. He would then take them somewhere quiet, remove his scarf, and strangle them. Genady was able to remain free while committing his crimes because he would disguise himself as a police officer and investigate his own crimes.
What?
He even interviewed suspects about the murders that he himself was committing. It was believed that the killer was driving a little red car, so he would stop people that were driving little red cars and question them. During the span of his murder spree, 4 innocent men were found guilty of his crimes.
That's crazy.
One was sentenced in 1974 to 10 years in prison. Another was executed in 1980 The other two also spent time in prison, where one of them went blind and the other attempted suicide. He did not succeed. He eventually got a little too cocky and sent a letter to the police telling them that he was committing, quote, revenge against adulterous women. He also left similar letters next to his last two victims. So now the police had the killer's handwriting. Having the knowledge, this part blows my mind. Having the knowledge that the killer drove a small red car and having his handwriting, police began combing through vehicle registrations, searching for owners of small red cars. Over 200,000 registrations. Okay. Damn. One detective also compared the handwriting from the letters left by the killer to over 312,000 passports. Between the registrations and the passports, they were able to narrow down the list to just a few suspects and eventually saw Genetti's writing on a receipt from his work. They found their guy and interrogated him for days. He finally admitted to everything and led the police to a well where he had hidden the personal belongings of his victims. He was then taken out into the woods and executed, although the exact date of that has not been released.
Damn. Hid all their stuff in a well?
Yep. That's some serious fucking police work, though.
Yeah, right?
200,000 vehicle registrations just to look for little red cars. 312,000 passports looking at every piece of handwriting to compare to these letters. Like, that boggled my mind.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Because, I mean, I watch these crime shows and the cops, you know, get a tip. Oh, was this kind of car? And they look up that car and they're like, oh, there's like 200. And they're like, it took forever. 200,000?
200,000.
That's crazy.
They wanted this man. Well, they got
him. That's insane.
They got him.
They got him.
All right. Next up, we have Serhiy Tkach. I'm going to go with Serhiy. Officially, his victim count is 37. However, it's possible his number is over 100 victims. He was a criminal investigator in the city of Kemerovo, and he was known as an excellent worker in his division until he was caught falsifying evidence. He was told he could voluntarily resign, or he could face certain imprisonment. Which do you think he chose?
He resigned.
Yes, he chose to resign. His first murder came shortly after his resignation. In 1980, he was drunk and wanted to have sex with a former classmate who he'd been seeing off and on for 9 years. She told him no and slapped him. So he grabbed her and raped her. He then strangled her to death because he was afraid she would report him. He then called his former colleagues and led them to her body, but got irritated when the officer on the phone would not identify himself, so he hung up. He moved to Ukraine in 1982, working several menial jobs before eventually becoming an investigator again. He married 3 times and had 4 children, and he continued killing more people. His crimes were finally noticed in 1984 when many women and young children began to disappear in areas of Ukraine where he lived and worked. In August 2005, he snatched a 9-year-old girl named Katya, who was the daughter of his friend. The balls, man.
Yeah, that's fucked
up. Not only that, when he attended her funeral, just dumbfounded. He was recognized as the abductor by the 3 other children that Katya was playing with when she was abducted. Police used this information to arrest him, and he admitted to Katya's murder, as well as more than 100 other murders during his killing spree that lasted over 2 decades. Police investigated these claims and were able to confirm that at least 37 of those murders were committed by Tkach. I think that's it.
37.
There was no clear motive for his murders. He claimed to have such a hatred for women because of the way his wives had treated him. Then he claimed he committed the murders to mock his former colleagues to show how incompetent they were. He kept changing his reasoning for killing all these people. Detectives finally concluded that he committed the murders just for pleasure with no real motive. At his trial, he demanded the death penalty, but was given a life sentence instead. He died on November 4th, 2018, from heart failure.
Good. He should have died soon.
Couldn't happen to a better man.
Right?
All right, this last one is short because I had a hell of a time finding any kind of information on this dude. So, last one for tonight. Number 21.
Number 21.
Omar Abdul Razek Abdullah Rifai. Got that?
Sorta. Mm-hmm.
The last killer on our list comes with a victim count of 38. Although he's more of a rampage killer than a serial killer. And like I said, it was hard to find much information about his crimes. So he was an employed poultry dealer who was in prison for killing 23 people in 2008 over a family feud. Like, his family was feuding with another family.
Mm-hmm.
So he killed 23 people at one time.
Like a mass murder.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when he was released from prison for these murders, he shot and killed another 15 people for the same reason.
Hold on. He killed 23 people.
And was released from prison. Yes.
What the fuck?
Yes. So he shot and killed another 15 people at the same time before being shot and killed by the villagers. His motive for attacking these people seems to have been because they failed to support his family in whatever feud they were involved in.
Jesus. If they'd have kept him in jail,
he would not have killed 15 more people.
Right?
Wow. He wouldn't have made our list because he would have only had 23.
I'm curious as to how many number one killed. Because that's a lot, man. And these are only the bottom 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Don't go looking it up.
I'm not.
Don't ruin the surprise. So.
Oh,
that's all we got for tonight.
Well, that was a good one.
I might just do my next two on finishing the list. Like my next two episodes.
Why not?
So that we can be done with that.
I gotta start doing some research online.
Yep. Whatever it may be.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, because we're not telling each other, so we find out when you guys find out. Well, okay. We find out a little bit sooner, because we're recording it now, and then you guys will hear it whenever it actually uploads.
I have to go through the list and see which ones have not been done yet.
Oh, then I think I know what you're doing. You just kind of gave it away.
No, you don't.
I think I do, but no, okay. Anyways, where to find us? Facebook group. National Normal Horror Podcast. Instagram, National Normal Horror Podcast. And Gmail, National Normal Horror Podcast @gmail.com.
Email us, drop us a line, rate and review.
See us on the gram. I've always wanted to say that. Not really.
Yeah. Leave your feedback.
Yes.
Let us know what you want to hear.
Yep. Rate and review. Please, please, please. And any what are they called? Platforms that you listen, because that puts us out there more. And then we get popular and people will like us. And it's nice to have people like you.
Yeah.
Nobody likes me right now. So.
I like you.
Okay, you don't count. You don't count. You're my husband.
Aw.
All right, so until next time, keep it spooky, bitches.
Bye.
Bye.
Your fix, monsters, ghosts, we got all the tricks, exorcisms and bloody gore. Every week you tune in for more. Here today, gone tomorrow, bring the world down and forget your sorrows. The devil's here and the demons follow. Rest in peace, I'm not your normal. You're